Weather's good and exactly. All right, guys, Gospel of John. That's where we are tonight. John chapter 16. So we're in the warm section, so no dozing out. Kathy's fine with that. She doesn't like it when we turn on the chills, right? John 16, and we're going to work verses 12 through 21. And the way that you guys, I think, know the way I like to do this is the first read-through. I want you guys to think about some things that jump out at you and tell me some things you notice at our first read-through. And then we'll springboard off of that and go through the lesson. So, John chapter 16, verses 12 through 21. And you're reading English, not Russian, right?
Yes.
All right, that's good. Okay, if you're only reading Russian, you can skip and bump your neighbor, all right? Just because we don't have an interpreter present. I guess you can interpret too, but it's probably more efficient. Olga. All right. Thank you, ma'am. So, Thomas, if you start in verse 12 and everybody take a verse till we get through 21.
I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come.
He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you.
All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you.
A little while, and you will no longer behold me, and again, a little while, you will see me.
Some of his disciples then said to him, what is this thing you are telling us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father.
Tyler, you want to get 18?
I was just honest. So they were saying, what is this that he says, a little while, we do not know what he is talking about.
Go ahead, Jim. Yeah.
Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you still reading together about this? And they said, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, you will see me.
Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to a child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that her child has been born into the world.
Okay, so we're going to stop right there. Leave you hanging on 22 for next time, right? What sort of things, guys, jumped out at you? First read through. I'll give you a second to consider.
Jesus' statements seem actually very clear that he and the Father are one.
Okay, definitely.
Before he goes on explaining, he will disclose, he will take a mind, and he goes on to say, the Father, all things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said that he takes of mine, I will disclose to Jesus.
Okay, yeah, the Father and the Son are one. See that connection here? Caleb?
He's kind of giving some hints and laying the foundation for his death and resurrection.
Yeah, he is, definitely. Not only, yeah, I like how you said both his death and his resurrection, because both of those are in there. Rich?
I've always really liked verse 21 here, when he likens it to the labor pains that a woman goes through, because the joy that comes into your life when a child is born, and he's laying, kind of telling him the joy that's coming into this world. I mean, it's the greatest joy ever.
Mm-hmm.
But they just they don't see it yet, but he's letting them know this is coming. It's going to be good.
Yeah, and he does both though. He mentions like there's going to be some sorrow, there's going to be some pain, but the joy is going to be so great that, like you said, you never have experienced before. We'll come back to that. I don't know how much, so I might mention this now. I remember when Matthew was first born, a little over 21 years ago, and one of my school kids at the time asked me, actually it was Jasmine, she was like, I bet, Mr. Wilson, I bet you were like bouncing off the walls, weren't you? And I was like, actually I wasn't bouncing off the walls, I said, but I had like tears of joy like coming down my face. Like you can't explain it, right? Until you experience it. And that's basically what Jesus is telling these guys. The joy is going to be so great. Well, we will talk a little bit about what that joy is. Anything else? Mike.
I think it's important too that the verse we're going to read verse 22, I guess. The joy won't go away.
Right. Yeah, that's for next time. That's got a special lesson dedicated to that. So.
And we can be also confident that Jesus is giving us everything from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He's not making any of this up. This is from God.
Mm-hmm. Very true. I think there's one other point I hope you guys pick. Caleb was close. He got most of the way there. There's, especially if you know the context that follows after. He's not just talking about his crucifixion and resurrection. Certainly the Spirit is a very central theme of this. But what's the Spirit going to teach about? Not only of Jesus' resurrection, but his ascension. His ascension to glory. So we'll see that. Actually, it's in a manner that they can't quite understand it at the time, but it's actually a very main point here as we work through this. Anything else before we launch in?
That's what he's talking about when he says, "No one has seen him."
Yep. So we're going to touch on that because when you first think about it, okay, you won't see me, and then again, a little while, and you will see me. You think, well, that's he's talking about his resurrection. But actually, he's talking about his ascension through the Spirit. They're going to see him where he is on the throne. And we'll cover that here as we go through it. So, okay. Notice, guys, in where we started from here, in verse 12, Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. So did Jesus just not say them? Okay. How about the conversation's not over yet? There is going to be an ongoing conversation. The Spirit, when they're in a position to bear them. So, the only reason I'm bringing this up is oftentimes I think it is easy for us to, our picture of Jesus to be very much while he was in the flesh. And certainly Jesus taught a lot while he was in the flesh. I mean, everything that we've been going through the Gospel of John, all these things that Jesus taught while he was here. But that wasn't the end of his teaching. Can anybody tell me the way Acts, off the top of your head, the way Acts chapter 1 starts out? The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. The book of Acts, guys, tells you a lot more of what Jesus continued to do and teach. Even the Gospel of Mark, I find interesting, the beginning of the Gospel of God. And I thought, well, that just means, I've always kind of had read that as like, he just means, okay, this is the starting of it. But I think he's telling you, like, this Gospel of Mark is the beginning of the gospel. It's not the end. So, Jesus had some more things to say. And he was going to say those through the Holy Spirit. Now, the last couple chapters, chapter 13 for sure, 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks about the helper. a lot, right? Who is that helper? Let me ask you, any of the... Can I pick on some of the Belarusian crew here? Who's the helper? You haven't been here for our studies on the Gospel of John, so we're just asking you to wing it off the top of your head. The Holy Spirit, exactly. The Spirit of truth, right? So, there are many people who I've found think that this helper was solely promised to the apostles. But when we went through that in detail, we see actually there's some aspects of the Holy Spirit, of this helper, that were going to only be given to the apostles. But the helper is going to be for everybody who would believe in Jesus through the Word. Okay? Obviously, that entails also being obedient to Him in the waters of immersion. Okay? But there's one aspect of the helper that is limited to the apostles. If I get up here and I preach, is the Holy Spirit speaking through me? In one manner of speaking, yes, but there's a difference between me and an apostle, isn't there? What's the difference? Those guys were actually inspired. Jump back with me to a couple chapters here. I'm way ahead of myself. John 14. There's two parts of this that the Spirit was going to do in reference to the apostles. John 14, 26. Rich, would you read that?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
So He's going to do two things. Bring to their remembrance everything that Jesus had said to them. And we see that in the Gospel. After these things happened, then they remembered. But He also is going to teach them all things. He's going to be an ongoing revelation of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Anybody that's going to tell you that they have that today is lying. Some of the things we talked about in our study, prove it. Right? Anybody that claims to have that revelation from God, prove it. But the apostles did. Okay, and they did prove it. So there were some special things. Okay, they were going to be inspired. Do you guys remember what Jesus had told them? If you guys are on trial and you're going to be on trial for my name, what did Jesus tell the apostles when they were going to be on trial? What, Mike? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I got you covered. Don't be concerned about what you're going to speak. It's going to be given you in that hour what you are to speak. So the Holy Spirit was going to inspire them. And we see those guys. We see the Apostle Paul, for example, on some trials, and the Spirit speaking through him. Now, there's an aspect of this that I think could hold true for us. Okay, don't worry. But what if you as a Christian go into a meeting, a trial, and you've not ever put in any previous preparation time? You think the Holy Spirit is just going to inspire you? I remember immersing a guy. Actually, I don't think I immersed her. I studied with her and another guy immersed her into Christ, but she really was hoping to get that gift of knowledge. I was like, that. There's a way you're going to get knowledge now. You're going to go learn, right? So, you know, guys, I'll spare you the details, but there are times in my life, and I'm certain there are times in yours, where maybe you're not at the top of your game physically, mentally, but you have something really important as it relates to God's Word that you need to share with somebody. And so if you go into that thing totally blind, hey, the Lord's not going to bail you out. But I will say this. There are times that some of the best times I've ever done, the best I've ever done is in communication, is when I felt like that and just prayed that the Lord would strengthen me and help me get beyond whatever my infirmity was at the time. Now, there was some prior preparation to that. So the Spirit will help us, but He's not going to help us in the same way as He helped them. Does this... I don't know if I'm making sense here. Okay.
That's what I was going to say. The same thing. He's a helper. He's not a doer. He's not going to step in and say, okay, I got this. You go sit down. I'll take care of this.
Nice.
We have to put in effort. We have to believe what we're doing, and then He will help us.
Amen. Yeah, He's our co-pilot, not our autopilot, right? He's going to help you. But He's not going to do it against your will and against our participation. So, you know, to make this a summary of this point, is evidence the apostles received, though, by special revelation is now available to us in the completed Word, isn't it? We have access to that.
Peter would say everything pertaining to life and godliness. Amen.
Exactly. So we have opportunity to know the same things. I'll just leave that. But of course we need to prepare in general ahead of time. I actually heard a guy, one of the best things, some guy that was working on communication and preaching, and you know, gave some good tips about communication and public speaking. But the best thing I got out of this whole class that he gave on preaching, he said, dig the wells deep and preach from the overflow. Guys, we dig the wells deep, right? We have access to that. And then, in the moment, you don't have to worry. The Lord will help you out. So that's kind of that first point there. The second is, this: the Holy Spirit, what's it say in verse 14? John 16:14. What's that say? Anybody? Michael? Oh, Mike. Oh, a couple people had hands up for comments before we move on. Go ahead. John 16:14. Somebody read that for me.
He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and will disclose it to you.
Okay. So, the Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. I don't want to get too into this today, but didn't we see earlier that the Spirit and Jesus are one and the same? Amen. Jesus told the apostles, He's like, the Helper says, you know Him because He abides with you and will be in you. Right? So He says, you guys know this Helper already. You know the Spirit. But now we see the Spirit is going to glorify Jesus. What's He driving at there? Let me ask it this way. What do we call this book? The Bible? Sword of the Spirit? That's a good one. It relates to what I'm talking about. What else? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, Revelation chapter 19:10, and then following. Okay. The passage following talks about Jesus returning, and His name has been called the Word of God. Okay. Revelation 19:10, Mr. Simpson, lay that one on us. Exactly. The Spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. This book is about Jesus. This is how we're going to know who God is. And so, when God, Jesus, and the Spirit are one, but when the Spirit is doing His work in the apostles, He is putting that highlight on Jesus. The revelation of God to us. Certainly it started with Jesus in the flesh. Everything that I told you, He's going to bring to your remembrance. But it wasn't going to end there. But
the fact that He says that the Spirit is going to glorify me. Also go back to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 48, that where God said, I will give my glory to no other. Mm-hmm. Next time, Jesus.
With the Father. Amen. Exactly. Yeah, we, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are one, aren't they? So, can anybody, if you were to summarize the gospel of Jesus, put it in simple words, what would you say? What? Hope. Okay, that's true. He brings hope. In terms of the revelation of God to us through Jesus, if you were Handel composing the Messiah, where might you start? His birth, his life, his ministry, right? His death, his resurrection, his ascension. Oh yeah, what's the Messiah? What's the chorus that's famous in that? The Hallelujah chorus? What's that about? What?
Risen.
Okay, he's risen, and also he'd come back for judgment, right? So if we were to summarize, I mean, that's a pretty good summary of the gospel. Let's actually go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You guys ever noticed the 3:16s in the Bible? There's some pretty good ones in there, guys. Here's one to lock in to. 1 Timothy 3:16. Mikel, I haven't heard much from you tonight, so I'm going to pick on you. Could you read this for me?
My common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who is revealed in the flesh is vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken in the world.
Okay. This is common confession. Great is the mystery of godliness, and here it is. And it's about Jesus. From his revelation in the flesh up to his taken up in glory, we know the rest of Scripture. Hey, this same glorified Christ is coming back in judgment. So, Jesus is the focus. The disclosures, where he's going to disclose this to them, he shall disclose it to you. All the things that the Father has are mine. Kevin mentioned that earlier. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So, I don't want to keep beating on this too much, but I do want us to just journey real quickly. Consider after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. I think there's a few really key things that we would never know just from reading the Gospels. So, would you know that Jesus is the Christ from reading the Gospels? Could you get there?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, you get there. You know that Jesus is Lord from the Gospels? Yeah. Could you even get that Jesus is God from the Gospels? Yeah, you could get there. Would you be able to get that Jesus is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek from the Gospels? I can't get there. Not from the Gospels. Aren't you thankful for the book of Hebrews? Okay, Matthew.
Well, there's still one from Graham J. The red letters are the words that Jesus wrote on earth, and the black letters are the ones we spoke
in heaven. Amen. Yeah, the red letters are highlighted. You know, hey, these are the words Jesus spoke on earth. But particularly the rest of the New Testament, those black letters, those are the ones that Jesus spoke from heaven. Hebrews 12 would back up Papa J on that one. Okay? So, high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, would you get the ascension to the throne from the Gospels? The last I get is this. Right? What happened? You wouldn't get that without Acts forward, right? You guys know Acts chapter 2, Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. He's already laying out, okay, not only the crucifixion of Christ and his resurrection, but his ascension to the throne. And following up on that, he says, hey, let all the house of Israel know for certain, God's made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, right? So he lays out that ascension to the throne. In Acts chapter 5, Okay? The apostles are speaking that of Jesus' exaltation as a prince and a savior. And they say, we are witnesses of these things. The only way they're witnesses of those things, guys, was through the Holy Spirit. Okay? The revelation of the Spirit. Yeah, go ahead.
I would say that he definitely gave the religious leaders in his trial a little glimpse of who he was when he quoted from and made allusion to Daniel 7.
Yes.
And they were telling him, we adjure you, glorify God, tell him, okay, I'll tell you what it's going to be. You see some man jump on the cloud. Oh, it's not like Daniel 7.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you might have, you could get there from the Gospels. Yep, that's true. Jesus definitely gave a glimpse of that prophecy, of the fulfillment of it. And actually, Jesus did give some other things, like, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He even talks a little about the chief cornerstone, but I wouldn't be able to put all those pieces together without Acts forward. Okay. By the way, it's fun, guys, to go back and sometime read Psalm 118. We have a hymn, we have a song about it. This is the day, this is the... I should give this to Alan Marshall. I've heard stories about your singing, bro. I'm looking forward to hearing somebody that can sing. This is the day the Lord has made, and we sing that in reference to, hey, today is a great day, right? But you actually look at Psalm 118 and what that's about, the day the Lord has made, the day that the chief cornerstone was put into place in that spiritual temple. Jesus' ascension to the throne. We wouldn't get that without the further revelation of the Holy Spirit. And so these disclosures, guys, I'm thankful for. The faith that we have in Christ because of what the Spirit gave the apostles to teach us. Mr. Simpson hit this, I and the Father are one. Jesus said back in John chapter 10, and again he makes that point, all things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So, you know, Julie and I, we got... I gotta think about this. Is this 23 for us? So, you know, we got the his and her towels, right? Not really, but, you know, it starts out, oh, this is nice. His and hers. Hey, his and hers has gone a long time. Hey, that's my towel. It's our towel, right? Okay. But that's a little bit of a picture, but it still comes short of the Father and the Son. They aren't just one in terms of his and hers coming together. It's like on the throne, guys, they are one. Okay. Caleb, I want to bounce off of what you said a little bit. Look at verse 17. Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what's this thing he's telling us? A little while and you will not behold me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. Okay. In verse 16, Jesus said, you know, they just basically repeated what he said. What is Jesus talking about? Well, a little while and you will no longer see me. That's pretty obvious, isn't it? Crucifixion. That's where some of that sorrow is going to come in. And he's been prepping them. Don't let your heart be troubled. Way back from chapter 14 all the way through this. Okay? So that's crucifixion. But again, a little while, and you will see me. At first glance, that looks like resurrection. But if you follow this through, and we didn't get to read that far, but if you just follow it through in context down to verse 23, and in that day you will ask me no question, truly, truly, I say to you, if you shall ask the Father for anything, he will give it to you in my name. Jesus is talking about after ascension. The eyes of their heart were going to be enlightened. And they, just like Stephen got to see, okay, he got a special glimpse, right? Heaven opened up, Jesus standing at the right hand of God. The apostles, every one of them got that by revelation of the Spirit. You will see me. What's thinking, Mikhail? I saw that little nose twitch. Like, Oh, I love you, Mikhail. Allergies. Mike.
Kind of a shout out back to verse 7. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to be to their advantage.
I mean, but it's just that it's the helper. You're going to see me in a little while. He's referring to the helper.
Yeah, he's going to be with me. And he's going to glorify me. I think it's also like he's going to show you not just who I was, but who I am. Right? So let's pick it up here a little bit. We are really blessed, guys. If you think about this scripture. I actually had a Bible study with a guy last night. Caleb got to join me with it. And this guy said, you know, I was thinking about it. And he said, if we don't make it, a Christian in our day doesn't make it. He said, can you imagine the first century Christian saying, you had the Word of God readily available to you. Like, we're not having to go and hoard scrolls, guys. Like, you can pull it up on whichever translation you want, just like that, right? We have this available to us, amazingly.
Even Russian.
Oh, even Russian, that's true. You got the Holy Spirit that God's given to you, and you have the church. If we don't make it, there's just really no excuse, right? So, you know, to steal words from Jesus when he told, talking to his apostles in Matthew 13, he said, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Do you guys realize how blessed we are? How'd you like to be Isaiah? Pending Isaiah 53 that we talked about today, but you'd be like, what is this about? This amazing prophecy of the crucifixion and even the resurrection of Christ, but saying, when? How is this going to happen? Who's this really about? Because on this side, do you realize how blessed we are? Everything that the Holy Spirit has shown us, even to the ascension of Jesus Christ to the throne. That's one reason tonight on that song I wanted to do. First verse, saved by the blood of the crucified one. We are saved by the blood of the crucified one. Amen? But I also wanted the third verse, saved by the blood of the glorified one. Because aren't you thankful he offered that? The glorified Christ offered that in the Holy of Holies on our behalf. We have that full picture in the Scriptures. So, we got to wrap this up. Second page, a little while, verse 16, and you will no longer behold me again a little while. Let's jump down to verse 18. So they were saying, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Hey guys, can the fleshly mind comprehend the things of the Spirit? Can't the spiritually appraise them? So 1 Corinthians 2 says that. So, Tyler, you're not really into sports, are you? But you're into vehicles, into cars. So, if I told you that I had a signed LeBron James jersey, would that mean anything to you? Nothing. So you would have no clue of the value of that. I don't either, except I know it'd be a lot. The guy makes how many million a year? Like $40 million a year or something. Signing LeBron James jersey is a big deal. Okay. But you could talk about like a vintage car, and I'd be like, okay, yeah, that's a sweet looking car, but I would have no idea of being able to appraise the value of that. Right? So if you're not familiar with it, you don't know it. Because the mind of the flesh cannot appraise the things of the Spirit. Can't do it. You can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't recognize it for what it is until you're born again. And so at this point in time, the apostles even are having a hard time appraising some of the spiritual nature of the things Jesus is talking about, because it was that side of the cross. So Jesus says, hey, I mean, they're asking, what is this he's talking about? Now, at least they made some connections, because I go to the Father, like, okay, there's something here about him going to the Father, but they can't get there all the way. And I like the way Jesus says, he said he wished, Jesus knew they wished to question him. You guys ever afraid to ask questions? I am sometimes. I remember in college, there'd be stuff I didn't understand, but I'm like, I'm not going to be the guy that shows how dumb he is. I'd ask my buddy, hey, you get what's going on? If he said yes, I'd say, okay, I'll ask you later. If he'd say no, I'd say, ask him. But what, I'm going to pick on you, because I haven't yet. What did I say earlier today? Truth doesn't fear. Do you remember the English? Truth doesn't fear
examination.
Who helped? Who did I hear say that? Ah, okay. Truth doesn't fear examination. Truth's not afraid. So don't be afraid to ask questions. And I like how Jesus here, he's but hey, he knew they wanted to ask him. And so he said to them, hey, are you guys trying to figure this out? Truly, truly, I say to you, and then he gives them some more information. I just want to make a thing in passing here, guys. I want us to be doers of the word, not just hearers. Hey, if you have questions, Jesus knows you got the questions, but he wants you to ask him. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't be afraid to ask. Some of those are questions of the mind, trying to figure this out in this case. Sometimes they're questions of the heart. You got to take them to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Great. How could I? Unless someone guides me, right? And I think our own spiritual life, guys, might save yourself. I mean, the Lord would save us, but because we ask the questions. Even backward, Jesus told the apostles, he said, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see what you see and couldn't see it. The only thing I see the difference between the apostles and everybody else there was they asked the question. We don't understand what you're talking about. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask. These guys were spiritually, very spiritually interested men. And so Jesus is going to give them a little more explanation. So then he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. What's that talking about? What was the world going to be happy about that the apostles were going to be sad about? Thomas, what do you think? There was something that's going to happen to Jesus that the people that did it and the people that were behind it were going to be like, yeah, we got him. But the apostles were going to be really sad.
Jesus died.
Exactly. At the crucifixion. The world was happy. Remember Judas, after he betrayed Jesus, he saw that he was condemned, he felt bad. And he went and wanted to give the money back. And the guys basically, he said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And they basically said, that's your problem. They were happy. Their plan got carried out. The apostles, they're going to be sad at Jesus' crucifixion. But what Rich was talking about, Jesus then compares it to whenever a woman is in, mine says travail. That's old school. The new says labor, right? Julie might not appreciate this, but you guys know me. I do. We balance each other out great. She doesn't like attention, Kevin, and I do, so it works out good, that kind of stuff. But, she deserves a little. Thank you for noticing her. But for when Matthew was going to be born, I really thought it was my responsibility to tell Julie, get her mentally prepped for this. Okay? This is going to be the toughest thing you ever did. Like, you're going to have to be so mentally tough. This is going to hurt so bad. This is going to, like, this is the way I was helping her out, right? Like, I want her to be mentally prepared. That's the worst thing you're ever going to have gone through. Okay? After the first one, I figured she didn't need to tell me that, me to tell her that anymore. But, and I've never had to go through it, but that travail, that labor, I've told you guys, I've been in there when it's happening and I passed out. I did. Next thing I know, I wake up and they're like, got me stretched on the couch and they're taking care of me. Thinking, wow, okay. So, it's tough stuff for, you know, you ladies. But Jesus said, that labor, he says, the world, you know, the world's going to rejoice. You're going to be sorrowful. He says, a woman is in travail. She has sorrow. Her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she remembers the anguish no more. Why in the world would a woman ever have a second kid? Short memory on the pain, right? Because of the joy. Because of the joy of the child. And so Jesus is telling these guys, like, he's going back to where he started this discussion in John 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. Yes, you're going to be sad. Yes, there's some things that I've warned you about, so you know when it comes, even in your sadness, even in your grief, I told you it was coming. But that's not the end of the story, guys.
Get the picture.
What'd you say?
Get the picture.
Get the picture. That's right. And in my life, guys, I have to remember even some of the little things. There's spiritual application here. In the little things, sometimes you can't see the end. You can't figure out the way that this is going to work out for good. You just can't, you know, you can get really discouraged. But I just think about the cross for a second. The greatest evil that Satan could throw. Crucifying the Son of God. God caused for the greatest good and brought about the greatest joy. So if God can do that with the greatest evil that Satan can do, what can he do with some of these things up there on the board? Jesus holds the keys of death and of Hades. He is alive forevermore. He always lives to make intercession on our behalf. Aren't you glad? So let's be doers of the word this week. What's a way, the stuff we learned, what's a way we can be a doer? What'd you say? Pass on the good news.
Look for opportunity.
Definitely. How would we apply? And this, from the stuff we talked about tonight, it's a little bit vague. How would we do it? That's why I want.
By speaking boldly the word of God.
Okay.
Sharing the gospel. Following Jesus' steps. Do what he did.
Do what he did. See him as he is, right? And then do what he did.
Ask questions.
Even if you know the answer is going to
require work.
Even if you know, yeah, it's true. Keep looking. Hey. Amen. Alright, let's do it, guys. Tyler, would you close this prayer, bud? Here's another guy who likes attention.
Thank you, Lord, for giving us the time to study and get together and be able to break up into groups like this every Wednesday, that we can still freely assemble here, and we just need to make the most of it while we still can, and we just all really appreciate that, Lord, and the freedoms that we do have left, and I just thank you and hope that all of us do good throughout the week and that we can branch out to as many people as we can. If we get shut down, to just go move on to the next person and just keep pushing and hopefully get it spreading faster and then get the stones laid. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.